Wanted to recognize that Chelsea's parents are here today. Her dad, Roger Long, has been on our prayer list with kidneys, and he is now on a kidney transplant list. So do pray for him that a match can be found. And Chelsea's grandmother is sitting beside her, and this is her first visit here. Now, do you live in Tennessee? Okay, all right. I'm glad to have y'all here. Good to see your parents again, and glad to have your dad still making it. And we pray that, you know, that transplant will come in at the right time. So T said his wife's not well. Please remember her in prayer. If I try to pronounce her name, I'll mess it up. They're from India, and our Indian folks, Like Satish, that's not all his name. That's just a portion of it, you know. And he says that's the easiest thing for people to call him. So remember them in your prayers, please. It's good to have each of you here today. We thank you for coming. I know it's a holiday weekend. The office will be closed Monday, except for the students and the teens are going to camp. So they will be here that morning to leave on the bus. Please remember them in prayer. We're thankful they're going, and the Wiles cost $350 a person. But due to the generosity of the people of this church, the campers were able to go for just a portion of that amount of money. Thank you to all of you that have donated to help with that. Many of you will remember that's where Jacob got his heart straight on a calling from the Lord to go to Bible college. His parents had already helped him, and they had paid for the first semester at Clemson to go and study engineering. And he changed all that and went to Bible college instead. And the vast majority of that happened at that last year, his senior year. He went to camp that year, and God got hold of him about it. And so many young people make decisions to be saved or to be active in church or to read their Bibles or to go to Bible college and serve in the ministry because of camps. And it's a great week. They go for a week, they get away from television, radio, phones, and music, and all of that, and they hear preaching every day and teaching every day and are around Christian young people. It's a great environment for them to be in. I'm thankful that our church is willing to send these kids to camp and help them. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I want to begin with verse number 11 in Psalm 33. This is the last Sunday, probably, that Robin and Tommy will be here. They're moving to north of Gastonia, and they've thought they'd be gone 3 weeks ago, and the new house they're getting there is they were replacing floors, and the workmen didn't get things done in time, and all the, you know, if you had construction work done, you know how that is. Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow morning, you know. And so finally, I think it's ready now, and they think this will be their last Sunday. And that's Robin's mom from New York. I'm glad to have you here again. Welcome. Psalm 33, verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. In Psalm 34, we could read this entire psalm, but I won't for time's sake. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. When you get home today, read verse 14 through the verse 22, the rest of that chapter. Of course, when God had the psalmist write Psalm 33 in verse number 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, it applied to the nation of Israel, God's chosen people at that time. There may have been small nations or some nations where a king could have been converted or believed in the true God, had influence from Israel, as they should have done all along, been the light to other nations, but they weren't. They failed in that. And so most other nations were idolaters in that day. But that passage applies to us today as clear as it can be, because in the New Testament church age in which we live, God is blessing us as a nation in America. It is in Romans 13 that Paul wrote about civil authority as we have in a constitutional republic as a nation, that our laws are for the protection of the godly and the prosecution of the wicked, including, may I say again, including capital punishment. That is clearly taught in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. And so when the wicked are properly judged by courts and not by individual people in anger, then it helps keep the nation righteous before the Lord. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Today the gospel's been opened up to all nations because of Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and Titus and Silas, who went on missionary journeys with Paul and established churches throughout the nations. And now he says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 6, that we're to pray for all men, and especially those that are in authority, because God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And he says to us that God would have us live a quiet, peaceable life in godliness and honesty. So that's the goal for a nation, to please God, to live in peace and to live in godliness and honesty. But today in the United States of America, revisionists have tried to change all our history and make America different from what it was. Hey, looking at President Obama that was just in office a few years ago, and now Biden, who it was his vice president, is the president. I keep wanting to call him O Biden instead of because of Obama, you know, and he continues his policies from the Democrat Party. And President Obama went around the world apologizing to dictators in foreign countries and for wars that they started against us. And today the Democratic Party wants to change the Constitution. They want to pack the Supreme Court so they can have their way. And they're extremely upset about the overturn of Roe versus Wade. May I say again, as I said several weeks ago, the overturning of Roe v. Wade means absolutely nothing about the stop of abortion. It means the states have to determine, will they allow abortion in their state and what restrictions they will place upon it, instead of having the federal government and the Supreme Court make that decision. It had no right going to the Supreme Court to start with, because the Constitution defends life, and innocent life especially. And so we want to follow the Bible, and we don't believe in abortion. But if abortions continue in the states, that's the state's government that chooses that and makes the rules and regulations for it. But you see, it's like I heard Rush Limbaugh say in the first few years that he was on the radio. He said, follow the money trail, and then you'll see why they do things and why they want things. And that's exactly the truth. Congress and Senate has been set up with laws that churches are to have exemption from property tax, exemption from tax upon the offerings that are donated to the church in the name of the Lord. That is tax-exempt money, because the government recognized the importance of the church. In the early days of the Congress and the Senate, they voted and paid for Bibles to be shipped to America because there was a need for them here and for everybody to be able to own a Bible. And the Congress paid for it and ordered Bibles for the people of America. Justice Scalia wrote, these two issues alone, that exemption from property tax and the voting of bringing Bibles here, those two issues alone, along with many other issues, were evidence that the founding fathers wanted to spread the Christian religion among the people of the United States of America. Now, our country today, we have plenty to complain about in politics. So much has changed and tried to be changed that we sort of have lost our identity as the nation we once were. We're in crisis in our nation in morality, and that is dividing the political parties of America. Many don't know who we are. As a nation, we've lost our moral compass. There are godly churches like this one meeting all over this land today and preaching the truth and being thankful for what we have. And we know the moral compass we're to have, but the rest of our society does not. They don't value virtues of honesty and truthfulness and integrity and moral righteousness. They look at them as religion and want nothing to do with it. The largest group growing in the United States of America among any thought of religion are these. They call them nuns. Not Catholic nuns. Nuns spelled N-O-N-E-S. That means they have no religion and don't want any religion. And that's the largest growing group within our nation today, are those who want nothing to do with religion. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, and beginning with verse number 20. Back in verse number 8, there begins a series of six woes that Isaiah, the prophet of God, pronounced upon the nation of Israel for their failures. And he gave warnings. In verse 20, he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the frame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they've cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." In verse 11 through 19, we have another series of these woes. They rise up early to drink and continue all night, the partying crowd, the lack of righteousness in our nation. Congress and Senate approved under Ben Franklin that the Congress and the Senate would have paid chaplains who would open their sessions in prayer. And the goal was to bring in men who could get hold of God on behalf of the lawmakers so they wouldn't do anything that would violate the nation's relationship with the Lord. That's the kind of history that this nation has. They saw our dependence upon the Lord. Secondly, America is a constitutional republic. It is not a democracy. Democracy means mob rule, whatever the majority can get done. We have democratic elections. That's why we have the president we do now. He got more votes than the past president for whatever reason. And so because of the majority votes, then he's the president of the United States. But we are a constitutional republic. We preserve what's been handed down in our forms of government. Our oaths, when we stand in court to tell the truth, are "so help me God." And our pledge is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The psalmist said, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." I would say, except the Lord build a nation, it's laboring in vain that is built. Our nation was founded on the thought of Psalm 128, verse 1 and 2, which deals with hard work and moral ethics should be the norm for the citizens of the United States of America. Not sit around looking for handouts everywhere they can. but to get a job and work and go to school and train yourself. It's hard, but it can be done. Pete Morrison and I both went through Bible college and seminary and worked a job while we did it because we had wife and kids. And somebody had to work. My wife was too busy having babies to do that. So I worked second shift full time and went to school full time. I did that at York Tech when I was a welder and I took business administration. And I was working at McGuire Nuclear Plant, 60 miles away. I'd drive home to other side of Rock Hill on Eastview Road and eat supper with my wife and jump on my motorcycle and go to York Tech and stay till 11 o'clock at night and come home and get up the next morning and drive back to McGuire Nuclear Plant. That's hard to sleep 5 or 6 hours a night and then go through college and work all day. But it can be done. Don't sit around on your only and say, I just don't have time to go to school, or I can't make a better job because I don't have the education or the training. Well, go get it. If you live in York County, you're a York County resident for 2 years or longer, this summer and this fall and all year next year, York Tech is tuition free to you. You just have to buy your books and things of that nature. I know somebody, we heard the other day somebody quit their job and we found out they're taking nursing now because that tuition is free, and so they're taking advantage of that opportunity. So there's no reason that we can't get jobs and get training to do better. We celebrate today the signing of the Declaration of Independence to separate us from tyranny of the King of England. They wrote with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. All 56 delegates signed that paper. John Hancock signed the day before because the king was already looking for him to hang him. So he signed it as big, his signature is larger than any of the others because he signed it individually before the others signed it. All 56 signed and pledged, and many of them gave up their possessions and homes and all of that in the Revolutionary War. Materialism. We must be reminded of the dangers, as Isaiah warned Israel of the dangers of materialism. We have on our coin, "In God we trust." That was put there to remind us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's the love of money that gets people in a lot of trouble. Do you know slavery would have never happened in the United States if it hadn't been for greed? People wanted to own people that could make them money and build them up and their property and all that sort of thing. That was a horrible idea. It was horrible all along. It should have been stopped long before it was. But finally, it has been declared. The pursuit of pleasure, becoming lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Isaiah warns about the partying crowd and the drinking crowd. And they're not concerned about standing before God. They're concerned about making themselves happy. Open sin and rebellion of God's authority. Rejection of the Word of God. To become wise in their own eyes. That is Satan's trick that he started with Adam and Eve and was successful. And he continues to use today. He wants people not to believe that God should choose right and wrong for them, but that they should have the freedom and liberty to choose right and wrong for themselves. And that's Satan's tool, that people choose sin, thinking it's just their liberty, and they will face judgment as a result. It brings them down. They will experience a fall. Thoughts of how the nation was doing led to perverted justice, that they would allow the rich to escape judgment. The elite, the famous, and those different from others. I've heard over and over and over for 50 years about the Hollywood crowd, how they do all kinds of things and the police will let them go and the studios will pay them off and do things to try to keep from these people suffering judgment and publicity that is wrong and negative and all that. Finally, a few places started arresting people. I used to like old Glenn Campbell. I liked his song. He sang a few gospel songs when he was going to church for a little while. And I enjoyed his voice. I remember when he got caught DUI. Boy, they took a picture of him. But he was drunk and his face was all drooped and his hair was all a mess and all that sort of thing. I saw that with several of them, you know. Well, they deserve to have their picture put up, just like any other criminal deserves to have their picture put up. And they're going to have to face that sort of thing. But when the law is perverted, that's where racial inequity takes place. That's where economic inequity takes place. If you're not rich and can't afford the best lawyer, you have to go with a public defender. You may not get the best defense when you go to court and face trouble and trials and problems. Laws to protect the moral sin of the residents of today. Cities that have perverted laws with sexual perversions, and they want the laws of the land to protect them and all that they do, and America has gone along with it. America is a map, a nation on a map, as part of a continent. South America and Brazil are all part of the same continent that we're on. We're America. We have about 335 million people, but as long as Biden stays in office, it's growing about 10 million a year with all the illegals coming in that he's not doing anything to curb or anything of that nature. I understand why those people want to come to America. That's why America still has greatness. People want to come here. They'll swim to come. They'll walk for hundreds of miles. They'll hide out on a boat. They'll find any way in the world to get here to enjoy what we have in the United States of America. There are over 7 billion people in the world. America is a drop in the bucket compared to the population of the world. But there's something different about America that makes so many people want to come here. It may be for jobs. It may be because of police protection. Many nations, the police department is more corrupt than the criminals that pay them off. The protection on the streets and roads and the ability to travel and all that sort of thing. You don't have to worry about traveling with criminals stopping your car and dragging you out and stealing your car unless you go through Chicago. You better be careful there. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God helped the early fathers to try to make freedom for all the people of America. So let's give thanks to God today for what we have. Let's praise the Lord. I read this past week about Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is out of money as a country. They are out of fuel. They don't have enough gasoline for the people. They are out of tourism. And they're running out of food. I think about Ukraine with the war with Russia. They have destroyed a large portion of their cities with big guns and rockets and all that sort of thing. Bombs. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of cities and towns and people are outside where they live trying to escape, trying to stay free, trying to get food and water and all these things. My friend, we need to get on our knee and thank God that we're not in that situation. Thank God that we, even though our gas is high right now and the lines are long, sometimes they're not running out of gas and there's no problem with being able to get it and go somewhere if you got enough money to go. Jobs are in abundance. God has protected us. God has preserved us. We travel from New York to Miami or from California to New England. There's no passport required. There's no roadblocks. There's no worries of attacks. If we get hurt in the process, there's hospitals and doctors in every city of the United States of America. And there's somewhere you can find help. Now, right now, I understand if you go to Piedmont Hospital, you may have a problem getting in. They sent somebody the other day to Concord who had a heart attack. They couldn't take them at Piedmont. And sometimes the hospitals are so full and all the beds are filled up. Pretty soon they should open up this new hospital over here. And Dr. Kessner told me he'd take me on a tour when they get it opened up. I'd like to see that. We still have an abundance of blessings. We have food. We have everything we need, and what we import slowed down, but usually we can still get it or we can find a substitute. We can talk against the public. We can talk against the government. We can say against the president. You don't threaten the president, but you can say all you want to about how sorry and rotten he is and belongs in a nursing home, and they can't come lock you up for that. In many countries, you couldn't do that, or you would just all of a sudden be gone one night and people wouldn't know where you went. We're free to vote. We can vote out somebody we don't like if we get enough people to vote against them. Am I putting anything in your mind right now? Let us put Christ first and serve God with a thankful heart and rejoice in our abundance and share it with those who are less fortunate. My wife has said to me a dozen times in the last 3 or 4 months, she said, I went to the gas store and I had a half a tank of gas and it was $58 to fill my car up. Something like that, dozens of times. I said, honey, let's be thankful we have the money to pay for it. Give thanks. Enjoy what we have. Enjoy your journey with God. And remember to be thankful for everything. Confess that the Lord is on the throne and He's in charge. And He's our loving, gracious, merciful, all-powerful Father who is watching over us, and His angels encamp around us who are the chosen of God. One day, payday is going to come for the wicked. The righteous will be delivered from this present evil world in the rapture. But all the lost are going to stand before God in judgment. The wicked, the evil, the deceptive, the liars, the criminals, the molesters, the murderers. They all have opportunity today to turn or burn. Turn away from their sin and turn to God and call upon Him for His mercy. And they can be saved and delivered from their sin nature. But if they continue on, they're going to face the judgment of God. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So let us trust God and not politics, not money, not stocks and bonds, not even our history. Let's live for the Lord today and learn to live within our means. That means if you got money left over, don't go out and blow it. Save it. You may have a problem next week that you need that extra money for, like car work or air conditioner. Boy, if the air conditioner goes out right now, you're going to pay $7,000 minimum to get a replacement of a new air conditioner for your house. And you'll be happy to pay that money if you got it, but get that air conditioning back on and cool you down as hot as it is right now. I'm not going to worry over what the federal government's doing or what the stock market's doing. I'm not going to trust my own flesh or any other man. I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'm going to give Him praise and thanks for everything He's done for me, for all of His goodness and all of His blessings. I'm interested to see what my God is going to do. I rest in the confidence that He's on the throne, that the Bible is His word, that Jesus is coming again. You know, somebody wrote, to live above with saints we love will certainly be glory. To live below with those we know, well, that's another story. We'll get along in heaven, my friends. But there's a greatness about America and its history, a greatness in its works, a greatness in the Christian people of our land, a greatness in the system of a constitutional republic with the forms of government that we have, a greatness in the generosity of America, missions, the care for other nations, the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy. Will history say about our generation that there was a greatness about it, that God's people served and accomplished things for the Lord? Their works were of wisdom passed down to their children. And God bless the nation of America. God bless the church and the Christian family. Dignity of the human life that needs to be preserved. There's a principle of traditional families that need to be preserved. Jesus said in the beginning, God created them male and female. Anything other than that is something man has done, not God has done. The principle of common decency morality and godliness, a principle of a work ethic. Puritan said, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that's what the church says as well. The principle that God established Christ through Abraham, the Judeo-Christian ethics that our nation was built upon. A principle of God-centered education. If we leave God out, we'll suffer the consequences. And a principle of divinely ordained establishments. First the home, then civil government, then the church, and then marriage. These things God has established for us, and we can enjoy them in the Lord. Thank you all for being here today. I hope you enjoy the weekend. Most of you are off Monday. We'll have the office closed Monday. I sent Bob a text. I said, tell Jacob and Nathan that they can plan to be off Monday. And he said, they're already going to the Wilds, brother. I forgot. We'll give you an extra day off when you come back from the Wilds if you want it the Monday, you know, after or whatever you want. Y'all decide that. Or if you don't both take the same day off, that might be a blessing to us, you know, how you do that. Pray for them as they travel. Pray for the kids going to camp and all the influence that they can gain by doing that. And let us all draw close to God and be thankful for what we have. There's a lot to kick about and complain about. Talk about what the nation should have done or could have done and all that. All that's past history, my friends. What's important is what we do today. And pray that God will help us in those decisions. Father, bless your people today. And as we depart from this place, give us grace and mercy to travel and bless the celebration of our holiday. But Lord, help us always to be thankful to you. Today is a holy day. It's the Lord's day, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.